A reading from 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, beginning with the 6th verse. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ, and by the generosity of your sharing with them and with all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God that he has given you. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. Here ends the reading.
Please would you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be like water and sunlight for the truth that you have planted within us. Amen. Take a look around, friends. What do you see? Literally, take a look around while I yoink my pants. Take a look around. What do you see? Do you feel the breath of God moving through this place? Do you feel the Spirit of God moving in this place? Or do you hear just an echo of the past? Take a look around. What do you see? We are a church of abundance. We are a church of abundant blessings. Just look around. We have enough to answer God's call and to bless the world right now. How often do we think with that mentality? Or how often do we think with a mentality of scarcity? This is not enough. This is not enough. What we have is not enough. We are not enough. How often do we think that what we have or who we are is not enough to do what we need to do? Well, the truth of it is, we always have enough to do what God needs. Amen? You heard the difference. We have a knack of comparing ourselves to the past, don't we just? Let me give you a very real-world, lived example. You know how you always want to be thinner, right? And you look at that photograph of yourself from X number of years ago, and you say, oh, if only I could look like that. Curses on those wedding photos, by the way. They always do those. Have you ever tried to put your wedding dress back on your anniversary? Don't do it. It's awful. I tried it after 10 years when we went back to South Africa. Absolute disaster. Anyhow, let me get back to the photos. And you look at that photo. God bless you if you have a photo from your lifetime, right? Worse still, if you open up those magazines with the airbrushed, idealistic photos of what you're, quote, meant to look like as whatever kind of person you are. And you look back on that photo and you think, If I could just get back to that. Well, truth be told, if you remember the first time you looked at that photo, you thought you looked fat and that you should look like you did in a photo 10 years before that, didn't you? I see you nodding. Amen to that. When we look back on the past, we have this way. Time does this. It's not set. We can collapse history behind us so that we only remember the high parts, the good parts, and we collapse all those memories together, and we hold that like a sharpened axe over our heads. These unrealistic expectations that weren't even true at the time that they happened. Don't you know it? We do this to ourselves all the time, comparing to the past. We are not who we were in the past. We were then what we needed to be then to serve the world and to serve God. And we are perfectly well equipped now for the world around us now. Amen. Amen. How often that we compare ourselves to the past. And that scarcity, that certainty within us that we are not enough, that we do not have enough, that what we are a part of is not enough, that sense is a scarcity that is rooted in fear. Abundance is rooted in love and in hope. And remember, we read in 1 John, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. Now, the Maori believe that we walk backwards through life. They don't literally walk backwards, but figuratively, they believe that we walk backwards through life because we can't see the future. It's actually very sensible if you think about it. We cannot see the future. And their whole philosophy and theology, their social life is worked around this truth that they walk through life backwards because they can see the past. They recognize the past. And in some ways, that's true for us all. We can't escape it. We only know the past. The future is completely unknown. It's as if we're walking backwards through life. And yet, how often when we're looking backwards do we cherry-pick those memories? Do we idealize them and hold them like an axe or a guillotine over our present selves? Instead of looking back to see the path of God's goodness and God's love and God's blessing, God's providence and care for us in each moment of our lives. We are a church of abundance. We are a people of abundance. We are a church of abundant history, our history alone. And we have enough to answer God's call and to bless the world right now. Did you know that we sit in the pews warmed by people who stood up, wrote letters to the paper, ministers who preached sermons against the Ku Klux Klan at a time when they were deeply rooted in the state of Ohio, spewing hate out. This church stood as a beacon of light and said, no, our society should embody the love of God for all people. Amen. Do you know that it was this church that when every single institution in Akron closed its doors to an African-American high school graduation because they had no hall to host their graduation, this church opened its doors? This congregation, that is the abundance of our history. That is the richness of who we are. Do you know that Spelman College is named for a member of this church? That was the vision that was spoken about and preached about and shared in this place about the right of education for all, the blessing and goodness of God for all, the abundance to bless the world. We are a church of abundance. But how often do we trust and claim that? How often do we believe that we have enough to answer God's call and to bless the world right now? In the second letter to the Corinthians that Courtney read for us this morning, we hear that the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully, and that God is able to provide us with every blessing in abundance. Do you know, Paul wrote that truth in his second letter to the church in Corinth, but God's truth, that truth is real for the entire church, for you and me gathered here today, whether stranger or friend, whether your first time here or your 150th time here. We are gathered together today as church, and this word is as true for us today as it was for that church in Corinth thousands of years ago. That God is able to provide us with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, we are able to share abundantly in every good work. How is it that Jesus fed the 5,000? Do you remember? 5 loaves and 2 fishes. 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus fed 5,000 people because he trusted that he had enough to do what God was going to do that day with those people. Not what any human being was going to do, because we know how far 5 loaves and 2 fish would get us, right? See, it's not about what we're going to be doing. It's about what God is doing. The miracles are not ours to work, they're God's to work, thank God. We just have to trust that we have enough to do what God needs to do. I've been blessed by living in a country, growing up in a country where this truth is lived out each and every day in very real ways. I remember a woman in our church, Iris Vito was her name, an amazing woman. She touched my life and claimed me as a child, which was an unspeakable blessing. Iris gave her life's work to running a preschool. There was no glory in it, let me tell you. And she was supported to some measure by the church. And so we would drive our cars in over dusty, bumpy roads into Warmer Township, an informal settlement for the most part, but some older, stable housing. And Iris's house could have fit up here on the chancel easily, with much room to spare on either side. Her house was small, tiny. And you better believe those children came. They came from all corners of that township every single morning for a meal, to sing songs, to gather together, to learn how to count and read, simple things. There was an abundance of children who had nothing to do with their days, and they would make their way down to Iris's. And of course, she ran out of space. She ran out of space, and so someone realized they had a connection through someone who knew someone, and they could get cheap shipping containers. Can you believe it? And they bust those or truck those containers in, and there were 2 of them in her front yard when I arrived one day. Unbelievable. Huge, big containers. Legal? Hell no. They had retrofitted them with some windows, which I suppose was good, but you had to drag those heavy doors open, and boy, did they squeak. And you can believe that in the hot African sun, it was not pleasant being inside that classroom with 40 little kids singing songs. But it worked. It worked. Because Iris believed she was abundantly blessed to do the work that God needed to do there and then. Does it look like a preschool that we think is acceptable? No, not at all. But it wasn't about us. It was about what God needed to do. through and with Iris' faith in that moment for those children who had no other option. It was amazing. It was amazing. And it taught me a lesson about abundance. And friends, let me tell you, we are a church of abundance. How often do we trust and claim that? How often do we believe that we have enough to answer God's call and bless the world right now? In Deuteronomy chapter 28, we read, "If you will only obey the Lord your God by diligently observing all of God's commandments, God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your womb, the fruit of your ground, the fruit of your livestock, both the increase of your cattle and the issue of your flock. Blessed shall you be your basket and your kneading bowl." These are real things. Everyday things. The author is trying to explain how real and lived God's blessings will be. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will open for you his rich storehouse, the heavens, to give the rain of your land in its season and to bless all of your undertakings. We are a church of abundance. We are a church, a people blessed by the living God. We are a church of abundant generosity. We have enough to answer God's call and to be a blessing in the world right now. How blessed are we by the generosity of time, talent, and treasure in this place? Did you look around earlier and see that? Do you know how much you give to bless the world right from this corner, settled in Akron? We make an impact. We make a difference. We have, friends, an endowment, did you know that? An investment in this church that is now equal to $13 million. Wow! And we make a small draw on that endowment so that the principle can keep growing and flourishing. And that draw, I want to tell you, blesses the world. By adding to our operating expenses, it blesses each and every one of us, and it blesses the world beyond these four walls. Do you know we have an ADA door opener now on the chapel entrance through the generosity of our members? Did you know we're getting a new sign out front thanks to the generosity of our members? Do you know we are blessed? We have LED lighting throughout the building now to save the environment we cherish so dearly through the blessing of your gifts. I am here. Pastor Antigone is here. The choir is here. The handbell choir is here due to the blessing of your time, talent, and treasure. We serve meals every week from this place. We bless people with opportunities for study, self-improvement through the AA groups we host. I mean, it's amazing what goes on here. Do you read your chronicle? Need to read your newsletter? You'll be blown away by what is happening in this place. The generosity of time, talent, and treasure. It's unreal. Unreal. In Ephesians chapter 3, there is a blessing. It may be familiar to you, but I invite you to hear again how God blesses each and every one of us. "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of God's glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with the fullness of God. So that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ever ask or imagine, to him be the glory, and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Do you feel the thank you? Do you feel the power of those words? Do you feel how the love of God is for you, the abundant blessing of God is for you? In Galatians, we hear that there is no longer Jew or Greek, there is no longer slave nor free, there is no longer male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. We are a church of abundance. We are a church of abundant diversity, and we have enough to answer God's call and bless the world right now. We have a diversity in people in our midst. Don't just think in stereotypical ways. Look around you. We are richly blessed in diversity, and we are blessed to have two worship services. I was joking with the 9:30 people earlier that we don't want you all to come upstairs and visit because you won't fit. We could have them down here, sure, they'd still fit in here. But coming quickly is the day when they may not. And it's okay. It's okay that they don't like the tradition that we embrace and love in this service, right? It's okay. It's okay that they like it to be more informal. It's okay that you don't know the name of everyone who worships upstairs and they don't know you. We're unified in our worship of Jesus Christ. We're unified as members serving the purposes of God in this place. And it's okay because we're diverse enough to hold it all, to celebrate it all. We don't have to be like one another. We don't have to look like one another. We don't have to believe exactly like one another. That is our strength. That is the beauty that God has given us in our diversity. Amen. We are a church of abundance, a light upon the hilltop. How often do we trust and claim that? How often do we believe that we have enough to answer God's call to be a blessing in the world right now? Do you recognize that when you come into this place, when you step into your faith, you are known by the name that every family has? We take God's name. We take God's identity. And when we step into this place, we are no more and no less than God's children. Did you know when I said that what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, right? Jesus didn't say, where two or three of you are gathered in my name and you earn over blank K a year, I will be there. And did you know when you gather two or three of you in my name and you look like this blank and like this blank, I will be there. No, Jesus said, where two or three of you gather in my name, I will be there. Jesus didn't hang out with the fancy, right? We know the life he lived. We know the steps he took. We know the ministry he entered into. Jesus said, where two or three of you, people like you and me, are gathered in my name, I will be there. Friends, stranger, or friend, long time acquaintance. We are gathered as the church today, you and me, in this place, And we are richly blessed, abundantly blessed in this place. Jesus said in John chapter 10, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. Abundantly. We are a church of abundance. We are a church of abundant numbers. We have enough to answer God's call and to bless the world right now. Do you know, you may not know this, but my previous life was in theater. In South Africa, that's what I did, and when I first came to Boston, that's what I did. Theater. And do you know that theater requires an audience? And do you know that theater therapy and theology all share one common thing? Yes, theos. That existential crisis that asks, where is the greater? And how do I reflect it? How do I become whole? We share a common origin. Well, it's not surprising that church needs people too. I don't preach to myself in an empty room, right? Do you know that this is a conversation? Do you know that we learn that at seminary? You all think you just sit and listen to me, but you don't. We have a conversation because sometimes what I say plays out in the life of the church and it plays out back to me. You come to me with questions. I don't stand at the front door so you can compliment me. I mean, it's fine if you do. But I'm okay with, hey, pastor, you said this. And I'm wondering, what on earth did you mean? It's a conversation. It's an interplay. The things I say on a Sunday don't come from nowhere. I hope in part they come from my prayer life and from my study of Scripture, but they don't come from nowhere. They come from the things that I see in you, the things that I notice in you and in what God is doing with you and with me and with this place. Yeah, this is a conversation. This is a conversation, which is, I love it when you say amen. Or, say what? Do you know, back in the theater in South Africa, we didn't have much. I remember one production we did. I worked for Arts Council, and they did these programs in the schools, and they were in line with whatever set workbook the matriculating class was reading. And it was normally a Shakespeare, because we're, you know, old colonists. So there was always Shakespeare. And so we would put together a Shakespeare, and then we would take a university lecturer with us who, in between the scenes, would explain what was going on to help strengthen the kids' ability to answer those kinds of questions in their final exams. Do you know, I had a theater troupe, me in a little bus, with a theater troupe of 5 or 6 people, and we workshopped a few scenes from Macbeth, I believe was the one I'm remembering. And we had 4 black boxes. They were about this high, about this wide, 4 black boxes. That was it. 4 black boxes and 6 of us. We had to go out and we had to create scenes, create theater in dusty, shabby halls. Sometimes there wasn't even a school hall, I want to tell you, and we'd end up on the playground if the weather allowed for it, which mostly it did. And then you would get hit by sand and litter as it was running along the ground. But you made theater. You made beauty and art and murder and all of those other amazing human emotions come to life. With 4 black boxes and 6 actors and a dusty hall or a dusty outside. And we did it. We did it day after day, and it was beautiful. It was gorgeous. So friends, when we think about scarcity and abundance, when we think about what we really need, do we recognize that we count our blessings fully and know what they are? When we look at our lives, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, I tell you, do not worry about your life. What you will eat and what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Wow. I read this a lot at funerals. And I think it is great blessing when you're faced with a family and you can see the legacy of a life. But I think that reading it at funerals has taken something away from it for me. And I reread it this week, and I realized how rich God's blessings are for us now. So hear again the goodness of God for you this day. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. We are a church of abundance. We are a people of abundance. We are a church of abundant vision and future hope, and we have enough to answer God's call and be a blessing in the world right now, but walk toward the future, longing for and creating what God is doing in our midst. Amen. Amen.